Well, I think we're ready to get started this morning. I want to thank you for coming out. This is something that God put in my spirit beginning about 6 months ago. He began to talk to me about parenting God's way. And frankly, I did not prefer to get into it. And yet he kept dealing with me to the point that I said, okay, God, I'll do this. And so this is from, I believe, the heart of God. And I believe it's a word for this body of believers at House of the Lord. We're going to talk about kingdom. We're going to talk about having kingdom kids and how to raise kingdom kids. And I think it's going to be a real fun time. We're going to have this on DVD. I believe the guys up there have got the machines running. And so we're going to have it available if you want to share it with somebody. When we get finished with it, we're going to have all the notes with it, everything put together. But I think this is a vital message for the body of Christ. So I hope you'll just dive in with us, take notes, get all you can out of it. And then we'll think about coming back again in about 3 months and doing another one, doing a follow-up on this, because there's still so much more. At this time, Brother Richard is going to come, and he's going to open us with prayer. And he has the first segment of our teaching today. So, Richard.
Thank you. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy, and we thank you, Father, that as we gather here in your name to do kingdom business in this kingdom place, Father, I thank you that you are here in the midst of us according to your word, according to your promises, Father God. And I just thank you that now our hearts are open to receive from what you have for us, that we may learn more and more of being a family of God, being your people, being your children, begotten by you, Father God. I thank you that you are here in the midst of us, that your spirit rises up within us, that our ears and our hearts are open to receive the word, that it takes root in our heart and it grows to produce much fruit. We thank you for it, Father God, and we just speak blessings on all those that have gathered here this morning and any of that might be viewing by DVD. We just thank you, Father God, that your spirit leads us and guides us and causes us to walk in triumph so that we may live a victorious life in the kingdom of God. Amen. Well, I've been asked to kick this thing off and bring an instruction or an introduction of sorts to the kingdom parenting class. Basically what that means is that I'm setting up Michelle and Joe. They figure they put me out here first so that when I sit down, you'll be so glad that I sit down and shut up that they will be like a breath of fresh air. I'm just kidding. They don't need anybody to set them up at all. They're both great teachers by themselves. But I do want to share just a few things this morning of some of the basics of why we need to be teaching and training our kids in kingdom fashion. And what is the kingdom fashion, or what is the kingdom way of training? Michelle and Joe will get into the nitty-gritty details of the how, you know, the actual everyday applications of, you know, when this happens, you do this, or to get this kind of response, you do this. But I'm not getting that detail. I'm just going to kind of do an overview. But the obvious answer as to why raise your kids kingdom way, the obvious answer to that is because Jesus wants it that way. You know, it's his kingdom. But we can get a little bit, we can narrow it down a little bit better and get a little closer. Proverbs 4 and 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. So what we're about this morning is wisdom and understanding. I don't know about you, but I work much better when I understand why I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing or what I'm supposed to do. I know I used to work with a couple of people that they didn't want to know any of the details. They just wanted to show me what I'm supposed to do. You know, tell me what to do, I'll do it. But if any little variation come up, they didn't have a clue because they weren't willing to understand what to do. If I'm supposed to hit the green button when the yellow light comes on, I want to know why the yellow light is coming on, and I want to know why pressing the green button is going to take care of it. What happens if I press the blue button? I want to know that too. Just the fact that there is a blue button lets me know that it has a purpose, and I want to know what that purpose is, and under the circumstances, when does it need to be pushed? Understanding is very vital in raising children, because each child is an individual and different from its siblings and very different from us as parents. What makes perfect sense to you, because it's filtered through all of your years of growing up and training, may not make a bit of sense to your child. And trying to explain something or to get your child to do something that you don't know why they don't see it, you know, that could be kind of frustrating. So you have to kind of understand, and getting that understanding of why they're doing that, how am I going to be able to communicate with them on their level, that's going to bring a whole lot of peace and a lot more comfort and stability in your home. The yellow light may come on at just the right time for your child. Just the right time, the yellow light comes on, you hit the green button, and everything works out great. But what if your child doesn't ever give you the yellow light? You don't know. It's just crying. What are you doing? Where's your light? How am I supposed to know what's supposed to going on? What you're doing? Is this the time to hit the blue button? I don't know. Or the red button. But if you understand what is going on and why the child is doing what it's doing, that will go a long way for your own sanity, I guess. If I know the yellow light comes on when the temperature gets too high, and the green button sends more coolant, and the blue button drains the extra coolant, then I know how to react when the green button gets stuck and coolant starts running out from under the walls. You know, if you all of a sudden you just got green coolant coming out from under the walls. Now this is a very general, and I hope you understand my analogy of this. It could be anything, but I'm just using this as an example. If you only know that when the yellow light comes on, you hit the green button, when the coolant starts coming out from under the walls, what are you going to do? You know, but if you know what the purpose of each one of those things are, then you know how to handle the situation. Without the understanding, I could flood the whole place with coolant and ruin everything. And without the correct understanding, you could ruin your child, or you could at least be ineffective in training them and teaching them, and that would be just as disastrous. So understanding the kingdom training, what kingdom training is, and why it is important will allow you to make adjustments so that the goal can be accomplished without destroying the child, which brings me into my next point. As with any job or endeavor, there has to be a desired outcome, a vision, a goal, a mission, or something to accomplish. You say, well, what does that have to do with raising children? If you don't have a goal for your child, and we'll get into this in just a little bit, there is a goal for your child, whether you realize it or not, whether you understand it or not, and we'll get to that. But if you don't have a goal, if you're not looking for a desired end in child raising, anything and everything is acceptable. Whatever. You know, but with a vision or goal to reach for, certain things will have to be there, and certain things certainly can't be allowed there. This is what Pastor Jim was saying Wednesday night when he was talking about our new building. Everything about the design and functionality of our new building should point to or facilitate one thing, and that is teaching God's people faith. Because that is the vision of this church. That's the mission and the goal of this church. And if we get away from that vision on anything, we can waste a lot of time and a lot of money putting things in and trying to do things that won't meet that vision, and that's not a part of that vision. And raising your children is the same way. We can waste a lot of time and money on raising our children if we just throw any and everything at them and hope that something of value will come out. That's not the correct way of doing it. If you think there is no vision and goal for your child, today we're going to help you understand that there is a goal and a vision for your child. We're going to tell you what that goal is. And God has put you in charge to see that it is carried out. Now, way back in the old days, and I'm talking way back in the old days, people had children for a reason. They had children so there would be someone to work the family business, work the farm or whatever. They had children to keep the family name alive and going. They had children to have an heir, to possess all that they have accumulated, or to perpetuate the family. Today, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure why some people have children. And sometimes I think they shouldn't have done this. I can only imagine some of the useless and pathetic, I call it junk, that would come out of a world system parenting class. Because some of those people don't have a clue as to why they're even here, much less what to do with these kids. You know, they're so busy trying to find themselves that these things here, why are they around here? But we know why we are here. This is not a world system parenting training class. We know what our job description is. We know what our family is about. We are about establishing the kingdom of God in the earth and seeing that God's rule and reign brings His will, plan, and purpose to the earth as it is in heaven. That's what we come to church for. That's what we sit and listen to week after week after week. How do we become kingdom participants and ruling and reigning in the earth? That is our goal, to continue the work that Jesus started, to put down or to destroy the works of the enemy. And if that is our goal, then that's going to be our children's goal too. Now, it could take several different aspects, you know, whether they're going to be a scientist or a geologist or a lawyer or a doctor. They're still, and just like us, we have very many different vocations, but we all have the goal of ruling and reigning in the kingdom. That is the goal of our children as well, because they are part of our family. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, and you must, is to train, teach, mentor, and disciple your children to be heirs of the kingdom and successful in ruling and reigning in that kingdom. Now, I have a couple of questions. These are rhetorical questions, so I don't really need you to answer them out loud. Are you training your children, or are you just babysitting them while they're not at school or daycare? Are you just, you know, making sure that they're, you know, not crying, making sure they got food, you know, as long as they're at home? And then, but it would be the same as if you had hired a babysitter to come while you go out. Or are you actually training and developing your children? Are you training your children to be successful in the world system or in the kingdom of God? And are you training your children to be successful in a religious system, such as a church school or a private school or something like that? Or are you training them to be successful in the kingdom of God? Now, they can and will learn facts from the educational system and from the world, but they must learn kingdom truth from you, the parents. and they do not need to wait until they are adults to begin comprehending this message of the kingdom. As a matter of fact, the earlier you start training them with kingdom principles, the less they will have to unlearn, like we adults are having to unlearn what we're the revelation of the kingdom of God. We're having to, you know, from what I grew up in, yes, I'm having to unlearn and relearn a lot of things. But if we can start when they're little, the less they will have to unlearn and the more successful they can be at an earlier age. And I think Jocelyn is a good example of that. She's already, you know, making investments, doing, and it's because her parents are training her to do that, even at her young age. But we have to look at what is success. I said, are you training them to be a success in the kingdom? For most people, success in the world system is defined one of two ways: making huge amounts of money and or doing what you like to do and getting paid for it. And, you know, I think of, you know, football players, sports guys. They're playing a game. They're making lots of money. And, you know, some people would call them a success. But we know that that's only short-lived. Success in the kingdom of God is simply doing what Daddy God, our Father God, says. Anything and everything the world considers success should be and is a byproduct of kingdom success. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," or world success, "shall be added unto you." If the goal is success by world standards, you will compromise to get there, and the consequences of compromise generally end in disaster. Kingdom success, on the other hand, is based on truth, and truth never fails. One of the biggest, if not the biggest, factors in the kingdom success is sonship, or learning to be a son. Now, we've heard a lot about that around here, and several years ago we had sonship training classes. I know many of you joined and were part of that. But sonship does not mean just having a father, but being obedient and honoring, and I would add, being one with that father. So many people have a hard time relating to sonship because they come from dysfunctional families, and they do not have a good understanding of a father-son or parent-child relationship. The more we learn about sonship, the more able we are to be good parents. Now, keep in mind that our goal and success in the kingdom of God is doing what Daddy says. That's our basic, you know, if we keep that in mind, doing what God says, being obedient, then that is going to bring us success. We will go far in that success with our children by teaching them to be sons. Let's look at several different aspects of being sons. Oh, I've got handouts. Hang on. Can you pass these out? My lovely assistant will pass out. Well, she's going to pass out handouts. She's not going to pass out, but... while they're passing those out, I'll go ahead and just keep going here for time's sake. On the handout, you'll see there's 7 points there, or seven things of that I consider aspects of sonship that we need to train and teach our children about as it relates to the kingdom of God. Number one is, one point of sonship is teaching them to obey out of their heart and not just out of fear of the consequences. We have learned that to truly function in ruling and reigning in the kingdom, we have to be one with the Father's will before his word will be effective in our lives. How many times have you heard pastors say, it's not the word of God in your mouth, It's your word that is one with the word of God. We are justified by our words. So the obedience that we want to instill into our children is not just do what I say or else, but it's an obedience out of a relationship, because they understand why they're pushing the green button when we tell them to push the green button. It's out of being one with the parents and having a heart for the parents. Motive and being one with the Father causes our obedience to prosper us. That's what causes our obedience to be effective. Surely by now, we know and understand that fear is in no way and has never been an acceptable or even an effective motivator for obedience. If they are only pushing the green button when the yellow light comes on because you will beat them if they don't do it, it's going to be hard, long life for you and the child. And when you are not around, obedience goes out the window, and the thing either gets too hot and blows up, or the flood of coolant ruins it. But by building relationship with the child and building trust, their obedience will be from love and honor and will bring honor to you. Moms need to teach the children how to love and honor the father. And fathers need to teach and train the children how to love and honor the moms. This is done by example and living it out in front of them. Honor and love your spouse openly. So first off, your relationship with your spouse needs to be solid. You need to be honoring and loving one another. And then as you teach your children to honor and love, they'll have an example to look at. If you are a single parent, teach your child how to honor their grandparents, godparents, teachers, or others who have major influence in their lives. By not requiring proper obedience from our children, we are setting them up for difficult lessons to be learned in their relationship with God. Number two, we must teach our children who they are in Christ. Our children need to understand that even as children, they are forgiven. They are welcomed in the throne room of God, and they have authority over the enemy. We don't withhold discipline from our children. The word says that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. How can we do less if we love our children? But once any disciplinary action is taken, they must understand that they are forgiven and their wrongdoing will no longer be held against them. This is a godly principle. This is what God has done for us. We do that for our children. This means that you as a parent, and sometimes this could be a little tricky situation, but you as a parent have to forgive them and affirm that they are part of the family and they are loved. Through this, they can have a better understanding of the forgiveness and love of God toward them. Our children also need to know that fear, lack, sickness, depression, and all those other things that are contrary to the word of God, they are tools of the enemy, and the children have authority over them even at their young age. Teach them how to take authority over these things. Ask them to lay hands on you and speak health and life to you the next time that you feel bad. Have them do that. Teach them to declare the word of God over bad situations that affect their lives. Teach them how to trust God for the things they desire and give them the opportunity to exercise faith. Don't teach that you are their source. Teach them that God is their source. That way, they won't be disappointed when maybe you can't provide them everything that they want. But if they learn to trust God, they will know they can, and you teach them correctly, they will be able to get it through their own faith. Teach them that through God, they have self-control. When anger or depression try to overtake them, tell them to take charge of their attitude and tell selfishness and oppression to take a hike. A lot of this stuff, it would be good for some adults to come into realization. You know, and Pastor, again, has been teaching over and over and over, you know, renew your mind. You got to change your mind. Stinking thinking will ruin you. Stinking thinking will ruin your children. We have to teach them. And that's all we're doing, is we're taking what we're learning from Pastor Jim and the revelation of the word that he's putting into us, and we're just passing it down. We are becoming the teacher, and we're passing it down. Surely, we can teach our children. Number three, teach them how to make wise, godly decisions. Take time to pray with them and show them how simple it is to ask God for wisdom when they don't know what to do. Teach them how to hear God's voice. Now, this will be a process that will take time, and you're going to have to work with it over and over and over again. Teach them how to hear the voice of God. Don't make it a spooky or mystical thing that, you know, you got to close your eyes and get in the lotus position and all this stuff. No, just teach them. How do you hear from God? Teach them so that they can hear from God as well. Number four, we need to teach our children how to recognize wrong thinking and wrong speaking. Teach them how to think and speak about things based on what the Word of God says. Please don't misunderstand. We need to know what's going on in our children's lives. We don't want children who are afraid to tell us when they don't feel good, or when they're scared, or, you know, there's something in their closet that looks dangerous. You know, when it just their coat hanging up there. We don't want them to be afraid to tell us, afraid that we're going to, you know, that's negative talk. Don't speak like that. That's not what we, you know. And you know how religion can do and be to us when I'm not saying we're not walking in faith or we're not speaking faith things, but children need to know, or that they can come to us when they have a problem. We need to know that we can go to Daddy when we have a problem and put his word on it and know that he is faithful to his word. We speak life and health to them when they come to us and they say, my tummy hurts. Maybe they had too much junk food. My tummy hurts. That's a valid reason. You know, my tummy hurts. Okay, well, we wrap our arms around them. We speak life and health to them. We lead them to the right, in the right direction, and having them help you thank God. You come in and you say, okay, I just speak life and health to you. I rebuke the sickness. I rebuke any disease or infection, and the pain must leave. It's a lie. And then have them help you thank God for their healing, because God has already healed them. Don't tell them that they can't have that toy because you don't have enough money. Again, we're talking about right thinking and right speaking. This will teach them that money is the cause and effect for their happiness. Tell them to ask God for it and put their faith on it and begin to speak it in by thanking God for it. Teach them how to change their thinking to deal with and evict fear. Don't be surprised as you start teaching them and training them. They're going to catch you. They're going to catch you when you make a little slip. Mommy, you can't say that. That's not right. But and that'll let you know that they are learning. They are learning. Number five, teach your children how to be givers and tithers. When someone gives them money for their birthday, or they earn money for special chores, teach them about the tithe and about giving offerings. Teach them to expect the blessings of God when they honor him in the tithe. Teach them to be givers. When they want a new toy, help them select something that they already have that is theirs and give to someone else to plant a seed. Teach them the principle of seed time and harvest. We've done this over and over with our kids. And even without us prompting them, they've come, I want to give this to so-and-so, or I want to give this, and you know, it's a real nice stuffed animal or something. I want to give this to somebody because I want something else. You know, I want a bigger one, or I want something like that. They have learned the seed, the principles of seed time and harvest. Number six, teach your children how to treat others with respect. Teach them how to bless their friends by letting them go first. Teach them how to help their friends and siblings with chores. Teach them to honor those in authority over them, such as pastors, teachers, children's church teachers and workers, and school teachers. Teach them how to pay attention and to be obedient. Number seven, teach your children how to rule and reign, beginning with the small things. Teach your children that God's original intent was that His children be in charge of the earth. This includes their life, like attitudes and obedience. They are in charge of their attitudes. They are in charge of being obedient, as well as the thing that pertains to them, such as their toys and clothes, their room. Give them something to begin to learn responsibility with. Even at a very young age, they can learn responsibility. Tell them that they are in charge of the books on the bottom shelf of the bookshelf, or they are in charge of the toys in the toy bin. Or tell them that they're in charge. Give them the responsibility of taking charge and ruling and reigning over their room. Release them to these areas as you see they are ready. Praise them when they do well. Help them and instruct them when they are lacking. Teach them about keeping order in the things around them. This will be very easy for some and very difficult for others. Recognize the part that personality plays in these areas, because each child has their own personality. You need to find out early, please, get help. Find out early what your child's personality is, so that you'll know how to deal with them in areas of instruction as well as areas of reprimand. These are just some of the areas of sonship that need to be developed in us as well as our children. This is done by mentoring and discipleship. Mentoring refers to someone looking over your shoulder, helping and advising. And I see my father-in-law, when I was ready to start making knives, he was a knife smith. When I was ready to start making a knife, he gave me all these books. You know, it's like, okay, you know, he gave me a stack of books this thick. He said, read those, and then we'll talk. So I had, you know, that was my training, my instruction. I had to read all those books. And then I knew basically about steel. I knew about, you know, knife designs. I knew basically the process. And then he pretty much mentored me. He would stand over my shoulder while I was grinding out the steel or cutting it out. And then, as you know, he would show me how to do this way, you know, do this file art, grind this down here till it's good and smooth. And then he would stand there while I did it. That's mentoring. That's teaching, training. And that's what we need to do with our kids. If you say, okay, you're in charge of your room, go clean it. Well, you know, for the first couple of times, they may not have a clue what they're supposed to do in there. What do I do with all this stuff? They shove it all under the bed, or they shove it in the closet. Go in there with them. Say, okay, all of these things go in this thing. And then you stay with them and you help them if they need help. But you show them how to put the first one in. Okay, now you put the rest of them in your toy box. You put your dirty clothes over here in this basket or this bag or whatever you have designed. Pick them up, put them over in there. And you may have to go in there with them several times before they actually catch on. This is mentoring. This is discipleship. Teaching them how you want it done, and stay with them until they get it done. Again, this is an ongoing process. Don't just bark out a command and say, go do it. You know, Now, if it's something that they have been trained to do, they know how to do it, you could probably get away with it. Don't bark the man. Just say, your room needs cleaning. Take care of it. But if when you're getting started, and it depends on their age, when they're getting started, show them, help them, mentor them in that. Discipleship is making learners out of them, teaching them to be teachable. As we are taught to be sons in the kingdom, we must also teach our children to not be only our heirs, inheriting what we have in our family, but heirs of the kingdom of God, because that is their ultimate goal. God has a plan for them, and that plan is to rule and reign in the kingdom. It's our responsibility. He's put us in charge of our children to see that they are trained right from the beginning so that they can start at an early age. Amen? That's all I have. So I'm done. I'm going to sit down.